Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a joy to be with you again, so I can maximize my time. Let's go ahead and jump in the text. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Over the past several weeks at First Reformed, we've been considering Matthew 9 and 10 under the subject of discipleship. And so I want to basically look at a chapter and a chunk in 20 minutes. And so we need to jump in, okay? So let's start at the end of chapter 9. Hear now the word of the Lord. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Amen. And this ends the reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May he add his blessing to us here this morning. Well, there are many ways to describe the person of Jesus Christ. He is a humble servant, an anointed prophet, a faithful priest, and an exalted king. All of these titles portray aspects of his work as the only mediator between God and man. But perhaps the best description that conveys the heart of the person of Jesus is that he is a compassionate Savior. Throughout his life, Jesus experienced the whole range of human emotions. Emotions such as love and joy and anger and sorrow. But if we had to pinpoint just one word that best describes the emotional life of Jesus, it might be compassion. Preaching on this passage, the great Victorian preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, quote, "If you would sum up the whole character of Christ, it might be gathered into this one sentence. He was moved with compassion." Now, by compassion, Matthew is not referring to some kind of cheap, schmaltzy sentiment. Rather, he is referring to a concrete, sacrificial loving kindness. He's referring to the kind of emotion you feel when you see a hungry child in need. And yet this emotion is deeper and more abiding. As the great New Testament commentator Leon Morris states, what we are to see here is not purely human pity, but divine compassion for troubled people. This is compassion directed towards the people of God. Now, the word for compassion is unique to Matthew's gospel, and it is applied only to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, for example, it's used to describe Jesus when he has compassion on the 5,000, or compassion on the 4,000, or when he has compassion on the blind. And yet here in Matthew 9, we are told that the compassion of Jesus is directed especially and particularly towards his people because they are a sheep without a shepherd. Now, when you hear that phrase, bells should be going off. It's a phrase with wonderful biblical pedigree. It's used throughout the Old Testament to designate the need of a leader for the people of God. And so, for example, in Numbers 27, Moses prayed that God would raise up a leader who would take care of Israel when they went into the promised land, so they would not be a sheep without a shepherd. And in God's mercy, he gave them Joshua. In Ezekiel 37, the Lord condemns the shepherds of Israel for failing to feed the word of God to the people of God, and then makes this astonishing claim in Ezekiel 34:15. I, Yahweh, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the stray. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. What Jesus is saying to the disciples, and what Jesus is saying to you and to me, is that the God of Ezekiel 34 is here, and he has compassion on his people. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. But how exactly, and here's the connection now to Matthew 10, how exactly does Jesus show compassion? Remember, this is not a cheap, sentimental, schmaltzy sentiment. This is a concrete, sacrificial loving kindness. How does Jesus show compassion? Answer. He raises up disciples to care for lost sheep. Amazing, isn't it? The way that Jesus shows compassion on his people is by equipping his disciples to seek after them. By caring for his people and showing compassion, Jesus raised up disciples, people like you, people like me. And so in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus gives a detailed account of compassionate discipleship. And he gives no less than 5 marks of discipleship. And I just want to quickly walk through the chapter and show you several characteristics of compassionate discipleship. Number 1, in verses 1 to 4, we see that a disciple is called by Jesus Christ. Verse 1 of chapter 10, and Jesus called to him his 12 disciples. Now, this is not a calling of conversion. We see that earlier in Matthew's gospel. This is a calling of commission. The ministry of the disciples at this point becomes the ministry of the 12 disciples, or the 12 apostles. And their ministry becomes an extension of the mission of the good shepherd. Jesus, as the incarnate Lord, understood that his ministry was limited in geographical space. And so he commissions representatives to go out and represent him into the highways and hedges of the Galilean region. And so with the calling of the 12 apostles, we witness the formation of the new people of God. This is a ragtag team, a diverse and ordinary group of men. Most of us love the stories of Peter and John and James, the son of Zebedee, but few of us know anything about Thomas or Thaddeus or some of these more obscure disciples. It's a reminder that God uses a diverse and ordinary ragtag group of people for the furtherance of his kingdom. And what unites all of these men, all of these disciples, is not their socioeconomic background, is not their education. What unites them is their shared identity with Jesus. It is their relationship. They are his disciples. The emphasis is on the possessive in first one. Jesus called his disciples. This isn't my church. It's not your church. It's Christ's church. And what links us together is our shared identity with Jesus. A disciple is someone who is called and commissioned by Jesus. Secondly, in verses 5 to 19, a disciple is sent by Christ. Look at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans. That was just for redemptive historical purposes. Their time would come when Paul came. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out the demons. You received without paying and give without pay. Now, in this passage here, we observe that a disciple is someone who shares in the mission of Jesus by declaring his message and displaying his mercy. Their ministry was no different than Jesus's ministry. Remember, the ministry of Jesus governs our ministry. God's word always governs God's people. And so when God's people go on mission, they do two things. They declare his message and they display his mercy. Acts of rule and teaching and acts of mercy and servanthood. So here we see the disciples being commissioned to continue the work of Jesus by declaring and heralding and proclaiming his message and by displaying in tangible ways the mercy of Jesus. But interestingly enough, the reason why they are to do these things is that they are to reach out and seek after the lost sheep of Israel. Brothers and sisters, as disciples, our job is to seek after the lost sheep and tell them where the good shepherd is to be found. That is our fundamental task as disciples. So often we bifurcate the categories of discipleship and evangelism. And some of us are pro-evangelism and we struggle with discipleship. Some of us are pro-discipleship and we struggle with evangelism. But churches grow when the rivers of discipleship and the rivers of evangelism converge and forge a raging torrent that make glad the city of God. And so, my friends, our job as disciples is to go to lost sheep and tell them where the good shepherd is to be found. And we do so with two fundamental ways. We declare the message of Jesus and display the mercy of Jesus. Nothing more and nothing less. His ministry binds ours. Third, a disciple is persecuted for Christ in verses 16 to 25. Not everyone we encounter with the message and mercy of Jesus will embrace him. And you understand that. We go into wolf-infested territories when we seek and save the lost. Some will reject us for our relationship with Jesus. And so the third mark of compassionate discipleship is the fact that some disciples will be persecuted for Christ. Some who follow Jesus sadly die for their faith. But my friends, and I say this with all seriousness, that fact must not stop us from going into wolf-infested territories to tell lost sheep where to find the good shepherd. Because we understand that our job is to point them to Christ, even if that means losing our lives. You see, this reason for radical approach to discipleship is very simple. And the reason why we're willing to be persecuted and the reason why we're willing to go into wolf-infested territories is that we all understand there is something greater than life, and that is knowing Jesus. And that is, there is something worse than death, and that is dying apart from Jesus. And that truth undergirds everything we do in ministry and actually motivates us to bold and compassionate discipleship. The consequences of someone dying without Christ are immeasurably greater than those for someone who dies with Christ. Do you really understand that? The consequences of someone dying apart from Christ are immeasurably greater than those for someone who dies with Christ. What do we lose at the end of the day? We lose momentary comfort. What did they lose? They lose eternal life with Christ. Therefore, we must not allow the fear of persecution to prevent us from seeking to save the lost. We go into wolf-infested territories, seeking the lost sheep, telling them to where to find the good shepherd. Let me just put a parenthesis here. Because look at who am I? I mean, I'm a 30-something, white, affluent pastor in America. As American evangelicals, we are accustomed to talking about persecution as though it has little to no impact upon our lives. And we can all rattle off the numbers, especially here at a seminary. We can talk about the fact that over 70 billion Christians have been murdered for their faith over the last 20 centuries. We can also roll off our tongues statistics like approximately 400 Christians are killed every day for their faith. These statistics are obligatory. And tragically, they no longer grip us. Brothers and sisters, we must not allow the blessings of comfort, which we all enjoy to some extent, we must not allow the blessings of comfort to soften the demands of discipleship. Compassionate discipleship goes and seek the lost. There is something greater than life and comfort, and there is something worse than death. And this fundamental belief must shape compassionate discipleship. Fourth, a disciple is someone who confesses Christ even amidst fears. So you might be saying, I hear you, John. We are to go into the cities and we're to declare the message of Jesus and display the mercy of Jesus. We're to go into wolf-infested territories, seeking the lost sheep, telling them to where to find the good shepherd, and yet we could lose our lives. I'm afraid. And Jesus hits that fear on the head in verses 26 to 33. One of the biggest obstacles to discipleship and showing compassion to lost sheep is fear. And we all suffer with fear in ministry. Some of us fear not knowing the right answer, or fear of rejection, or fear of persecution, or maybe fear of death. And yet, while fear is understandable, Jesus says fear is unwarranted. You forget whom you serve. We do not fear him who kills the body. We fear him who can kill body and soul. He's saying, do you not realize who you serve? The God of galaxies knows every hair on your head, and he commissions you. Do you not think he will be with you? Fear not. They can only kill you. Go, 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 and seek the lost sheep. Show the compassion of Christ. My friends, the worst thing they can do, the worst thing that somebody can do is to take your body. But if you are in Christ, you understand that is gain. Okay? You understand that is gain. Fifth and lastly, a disciple is someone who follows Christ. A disciple is someone who follows Christ no matter what. Look at verses 37 to 39. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. My friends, Jesus is worthy of your total love and therefore demands your entire life. You must not break the first commandment in order to keep the fifth. Yes, you are to honor your parents and your family, but you are to love Jesus more. Mm-hmm. Jesus demands your total love, and he demands your entire life. And the reason is very simple. What is gained in Jesus far exceeds what is gained in this world. So we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him wherever he leads. And so in Matthew 10, Jesus gives us a portrait of compassionate disciples, or just compassionate discipleship. And yet what is so remarkable is that when you look at the rest of the story of Matthew, Jesus doesn't ask anything of us that he doesn't apply to himself. You see, Jesus is the apostle par excellence, mm-hmm. Hebrews says. Jesus is the one who was sent from his Father to seek and to save the lost. Jesus is the one who went into a wolf-infested territory and who was persecuted to lay down his life for his sheep. Jesus is the one who entrusted himself into the care of the God of galaxies, who is his heavenly Father. And Jesus is the one who died on the cross for his sheep. You see, my friends, if we are going to be disciples of Christ, Matthew Henry says, the most Christian compassion is the compassion for souls. It is the most Christ-like. And how do we show compassion? Well, as disciples of Christ, we follow in his footsteps. We enter into wolf-infested territories in order to tell the lost sheep where to find the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.